We heard Blue Suede Shoes, Ace of Spades, Run Chicken Run, and of course his Rumble. Classic. Great guitarist. Wish he would play. Saw Dick Dale play. That was great. That's who we're listening to now in the backdrop. I wonder who would be better to see live. Dick or Link? Or Link Dick. Who knows? But like I said, this was Link Ray and Anton Figg on drums. And Jimmy Lowell recorded live in Amsterdam. Probably everyone was stoned out of their minds, too, because, you know, they can smoke pot over there in Amsterdam. They're so ahead of us. These other countries. Yeah. That's it. Concert Billboard's up next. And then America's Most Loved Talk Show. Eric. You ready, Eric? All right, I'll play one more. What? All right, I'll play one more song, and then you'll be ready. Right? Eric's so cooperative tonight. Anyway, we're going to leave with his version of Rawhide. Yeah, move him up.
Hi, this is Lisa with the concert billboard for Sunday, December 5th. Tonight, Mind Funk, Stick, and Gothic Slam are at the Limelight. Mark Elf and his trio are at Ethical Humanist Society. My favorite is at Brownies. The Kenny Barron Trio is at Fat Tuesdays. Tito Puente is at the Stoller Center. My Pocket Zoo, Janet Speaks French, and Little Big Man are at the Bitter End. Evergreen is at McGovern's. Thrust, Astro Zombies, Lunch Meat, and Colored Greens are at Wetlands. And Gamma Rays, Pacalama, and Cloud William are at Continental. Tomorrow night, December 6th, Gary and the Mood Swingers will be at Manny's Car Wash. The Wahoos, Sophia's Toy, and Doug Allen and the Native Train are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Steel Breeze and Voodoo Child will be at the Rock and Roll Cafe. Big Hat, The Barneys, Jimmy Guthrie, and The Meek will be at Brownies. 67 Riot, Kool-Aid Temple, and Shell Shock are at Continental. And Karen Black, Blitzsphere, and Giant Metal Insect are at CBGB's. On Tuesday, December 7th, Kenny Rogers will be at Westbury Music Fair. Bobby McFerrin is at the Blue Note. Moses on Acid will be at the Limelight. The Papa Chubby Blues Band is at Mondo Perso. Christy Brown and Goat Singer will be at the Bank. Cathedral, Pentagram, Iron Man, and 13 are at the Grand. And Sleep 6, the Senders, Malcolm Ross Trio are at CBGB's. On Wednesday, December 8th, the Ocean Blue will be at Irving Plaza. The Meat Puppets and Wake Lulu will be at Maxwell's. Warren Haynes is at the Grand. The Other Half, Dusty Diamonds, and After Hours are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. They Might Be Giants, Pacer, Alkaline, and Baby Tooth are at CBGB's. And Before Dawn and Stevie Cochran are at the Brokerage. On Thursday, December 9th, Big Head Todd and the Monsters will be at Irving Plaza. Eric Bogosian is at Maxwell's. Uncle Tupelo will be at Tramps. The University Jazz Ensemble is at Stoller Center. Sugarloaf will be at SOB's. point of view and no justice at the brokerage. And the Meat Puppets, Sleepyhead, Rust, Timber, and Motorola will be at CBGB's. For more information, call WUSB at 516-632-6901 or contact the venue. If you're a local band and you'd like your shows announced, write us at WUSB Student Union Center, SUNY Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah, we're late, but brain damage is here. Give us a call, 632-6901.
Yeah, well, that's what happens sometimes, you know? Sometimes you're just late. Because the program before you runs late, too, and the whole place just runs late sometimes. But we're here now. That's the important thing, and our number is 632-6901. This is Brain Damage, and we're here with you every Saturday night, talking about whatever is going on. And today, tonight, I think it would be good for our listeners to kind of set the tone by calling us and letting us know what's on their minds and getting out to the rest of the community. Our phone number, as I said, is 632-6901, area code 516. And perhaps the best thing we can do is just launch right into phone calls here on WUSB. Good evening. Are you there? Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm a space robot.
You're a space robot?
Yeah.
Okay, you care to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's an organization and we're going to take over the world.
Well, this has happened before, hasn't it?
Yes, but our ideas are different.
Do you care to tell us about your ideas?
Well, to be a member, you must confess you were. You must submit a confession of masturbation.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, you have to get a flyer.
Where do you get this flyer?
From me.
Okay. Well, anybody who wants to get this flyer, how would they get it from you?
Would you like an address?
I'm being told that that's not a good idea.
Oh, okay. Well...
But if you want, you can mail the flyer to us.
Oh, okay.
And perhaps we can help distribute it.
We want to take over the world.
Okay, well, we can help you with that.
We are space robots, and I don't know what else to say.
Well, I think you've said it all. Thanks for saying it here. Space robots. That's the kind of people that are out there today. Newsman, you have something. You're just standing there by the microphone for no reason. It's the sound of the microphone being moved. But,
Hello, Mr. Corley.
Hi, how are you? But, you have an expectant look on your face.
We are,
what's going on?
We will be having continuing updates on the spacewalk.
Space shuttle. The space shuttle's out there. And it's doing things. It's fixing things out in space. Things that we broke. And now we're fixing them. That's what we do out in space. We make mistakes and then we fix them. Sort of like what we did here on Earth. 632-6901, good evening.
Hello?
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm a space robot. My name's Cripple Poop Fuse.
I have a feeling something's going on out there tonight, is that right? We have all this talk about space for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought I'd talk about it. Yeah, it's a really good organization. A lot of people out there should join it. We're really helping people. We're going to try and stop all the discrimination against people, and you know, everyone can be more free and talk about whatever they feel like talking about if you're a space robot.
Uh-huh, sort of like what we do here on Brain Damage, right?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty good thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it's like, if you like admit to masturbation, you can pretty much admit to anything.
Well, I guess, if it's that big a deal, I guess you probably could take it from there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a good cause, and anyone who wants to join,
uh-huh,
the address out, you really should join. It's a positive experience. It changed my life, I know that.
It did change your life. How long have you been a member for?
2 months now.
2 months?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is a big night for you, I guess, since the organization is being announced over the radio waves to millions of people.
Yeah. Millions? You get to that big of an audience?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Well, before we went Christian, we were going to millions. Now I think we're back up into millions. It took a little while.
Well, hopefully each and every one of those million people will become a space robot.
Yeah, well, at least 2/3 of them anyway. That's what you can hope for, I understand.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
No problem.
You know these people or something like that?
Yes. Possibly.
You think you know these people? Yeah. All right, well, space robots, yeah. Okay, this is Brain Damage, certainly living up to its name. Anything else going on out there? 632-6901, area code 516. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing?
Eric, I have a question.
Yeah.
Being that you work for a radio station, right, and you always, like, mention the FCC, how about if you, like, get interference from a radio, like a CB radio, and it's going on, like, all over your house, like on your phone and everything from your neighbors? I had contacted the FCC, and she told me that they no longer handle problems like that.
That's nonsense. If the CB is causing interference all over your house, obviously somebody's using illegal power. They're using a power mic or something like that, and that's a violation, so they have to take...
How about a linear?
Well, I mean, during Reagan-Bush, they kind of deregulated everything in the FCC, so now the FCC pretty much doesn't feel like they have to do anything except come after indecency and obscenity rulings.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, that's nonsense. Of course, if somebody's interfering with things in your house, you can do something. You have to figure out who it is first somehow.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Okay, well then, you know, they're supposed to press charges against them when you know who it is.
Especially. Because she told me, we don't no longer handle. And then she sent me like a booklet,
uh-huh,
like other ways that I can take care of the problem.
And what are all those other ways?
Well, something with, like, if it's your phone, you might have to, like, get a new phone or, like, check the wiring.
Uh-huh.
And the phone company's been to my house, like, a zillion times. They even put, like, a noise suppressor,
uh-huh,
on my phone, you know, outside the house, and that doesn't work. And,
Sounds like you have to do all the work, then.
Huh?
Sounds like you have to do all the work.
Yeah, but you know what it is? The other day, the people that I know that have it, they were putting something on their antenna. And whatever they put on the antenna has been the cause of the problem, because now they're coming in. Before, you know, they wouldn't come through the radio, but now they are, since they put that thing that they put on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I know what that is, and if it's what I think it is, in the book, and a couple of friends have told me that that's illegal.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are they interfering with USB?
The radio, yeah, like, right now, if they want to be on...
They're interfering with our signal. They come over across on 90.1.
All the stations.
All right, that's it. That's it. We can't tolerate that.
I mean, like, I, you know, sometimes I listen to, like, the radio, and they'll come in over the music that I'm listening to.
No, that's...
come through the answering machine. Like, if the answering machine is just, like, on...
That's unacceptable.
I'll hear them on the phone. And then Channel 5, where I live, is, like, a weak channel. So when they're on, that channel just goes blank.
Uh-huh.
So it's like... I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I don't know. She told me they don't do nothing. I don't know. Like, there must be something. I always tell them, like, you know, I say, you know, there has to be some way that something could be done.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It does sound intolerable, but don't give up. I would continue getting, you know, those.
And he told me, you know, keep calling the phone company. Maybe they can do something. You know, keep bitching about it until they do something about it.
I don't think the phone company has anything to do with CDs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying something, you know, maybe with the wiring inside the house, maybe they can suggest something with the phone line.
Yeah, but that wouldn't explain the radio being interfered with, now would it?
Yeah, but so then, you know, like, I don't know, I'm like stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, sounds like you are, but the FCC has to do something.
Well, they can, though, right? That was bullcrap, what you told me, right?
Of course. You got told something by some petty bureaucrat at the lower level.
And let me tell you,
go a couple of steps above her, and I'm sure you'll find somebody that knows what they're
talking
about.
In the booklet, but I guess before she sent it to me, she looked through it, and she crossed out a lot of things with magic marker in the booklet.
Yeah, they like to cross things out over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they spend a lot of their time doing. But keep trying and keep us updated.
Another question. I like to know how I can become a space robot.
Well, I think if you... if you tune in weeks ahead when we get the literature in the mail, we'll be happy to
Eric,
share the information.
Eric.
Yes.
The question.
Yes.
Towards, like, the next hour, would you put me on hold against the teleconference?
Call back after 1.
Okay.
All right.
All right, bye.
632-6901. That's our phone number, area code 516. This is Brain Damage. And it's another rainy night out there. What does the forecast call for? Well, it calls for rain, heavy at times. Temperatures rising to around 50. Yeah, 50 sounds good. And winds will be gusty, 15 to 20 miles per hour. On Sunday, it's occasionally going to be heavy. That's what it really says. It says occasionally heavy. It doesn't say what, but we assume they mean rain. Occasionally heavy rain, that sounds good, right? Actually says occasionally heavy the morning.
So we took that to mean occasionally heavy rain in the morning, ending in the afternoon. It's funny, they said the morning ending in the afternoon as if that's what's going to end. And they're right, the morning does end in the afternoon. But we again interpreted that to mean the rain will be ending in the afternoon. High will be 50 to 55, winds once again 15 to 20 miles per hour, and gusty in the morning, and 20 to 25 miles per hour, and gusty in the afternoon. Sunday night clearing with winds diminishing after midnight, low will be in the mid-30s. This is the kind of year I like when you go up into the 60s and you go down into the 20s within a two-day period. That's why everybody's walking around sick, because our systems don't know how to handle it. Yeah, it's 12:30, 632-6901. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Sorry, didn't hear you say good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I should speak up a little bit more.
What's up?
Oh, you know, it's been a weird week, you know.
Did you do anything productive today?
Did I do anything productive today? Well, yeah, I installed a new operating system on my computer and it didn't work. So I don't know, which is it? Is that something that's constructive or something that's destructive? The thing is, I tried. It didn't work, but
well,
I tried.
Matters, right?
I'm a better person for trying, but I don't know. I'm worse off than when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, it's been one of those days where you think you start off by doing something good, but it kind of backfires and hurts you in the end. But you feel better for having tried, because you would never have known how much it could have hurt you had you not done it in the first place.
The weather wasn't that nice today either.
I like weather like this. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, well, usually I'm inside when it's weather like this, and I just feel better for being inside. Yeah, you know, I like things that reaffirm where I am.
It's kind of cool on these days, because, yeah, you can just, like, sit inside, and you can just...
Right, you know, you made the right decision, you know, it's a hurricane, it's a blizzard outside, things are falling down, and roads are being blocked, you're inside, you did the right thing, you're in the right place, so therefore, you, it's a plus for you, you see. Yeah, and I like having that reaffirmed.
Mm-hmm. You know what I did today?
What'd you do today?
I had to go outside in the rain and pick out a Christmas tree.
Really? You mean one of those roadside places?
Well, not really. It was at, like, a nursery place, craft store thing. Well, like, usually they always put the trees, like, inside. Mm-hmm. This year, they had them all outside.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're better off outside, I think, even though they're not really alive.
Yeah, but also they're, like, soaking wet.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So what do you look for in a good tree?
I like the balsam ones.
Mm-hmm.
They have short needles, and I like tall ones, not... You know, like, real full ones.
Uh-huh.
Not, like, long stem, weird, thin, short ones. And I hate fake trees.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the good thing about fake trees is that you're not killing them, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I see.
One year, we actually did get a tree that you can, like, plant again, and it's been in our front yard for a couple of years now, and it has pine cones, and it smells really nice, but... I don't know. I've always tried to talk to everybody into getting one that we can plant again, but they just don't want to do it.
Well, why don't you get a real tree, but a tree that's alive that you can plant afterwards?
Yeah. I know. See, the thing with ones that are cut, this is what I always think to make me remember that I'm not really a killer. Like, they grow all these trees up in farms and stuff, you know? So those trees are, like, made to be grown. They don't just go around and, you know, cut down trees everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, the purpose in these trees' lives is to be in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
It's one way of looking at it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but it's a way of looking at it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, we have strange customs here in this country. We really do.
It's not as bad as the rainforest.
Well, no, that's true. It's not as bad as the rainforest. But, interesting. Do you know where these trees come from?
Usually, these trees come from Vermont, like upstate.
Yeah.
Around there.
That's where the Rockefeller Center tree comes from, somewhere up there.
I think some of them come from Canada, too.
Uh-huh. Never-ending supply of trees, it seems.
I know, really.
But it's probably not really true.
Did you hear about the two suicides?
Yes, yes. In fact, I expect we'll be talking about that tonight. happened right here in
Sitalkit.
Yeah, only a mile or so away from here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was pretty shocking. I mean, this kind of thing has happened before. It's happened all over the country, and you know, it's definitely indicative of a problem we have with communication. That's, you know, that's why we're here to talk about problems and things that are going on in people's lives, so that there's a forum of communication. Mm-hmm. People should never feel like they don't have anybody to talk to, because
I know, really,
they always do.
It's a real important thing that if anybody's having any kind of trouble with anything, mm-hmm. they have to talk to somebody.
Do you live in the neighborhood?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, are you of high school age, or?
No, I actually, you wouldn't say I'm in the neighborhood. I'm kind of a little bit far away, but mm-hmm. the same thing happened at my school, except it wasn't with girls and it wasn't with train tracks, but
yeah.
it was a different form of suicide.
Uh-huh.
You know, I live in Fort Salongo, which is close to Kings Park, and I go to Kings Park High School.
Uh-huh.
And, in October, a kid named Brian committed suicide.
You know, I read about that in the paper, actually, how people from Kings Park High School were, I guess, kind of consoling people here in Sitalkit.
Lot of those kids that, like, put quotes in there were, like, my friends, about four of them, I think.
Uh-huh.
Friends, and some of them said some good quotes.
Yeah.
You know, but,
I have the article right here, in fact. I know one of the, people,
Article 2?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I have the exact part I want to read here, but somebody who is an expert on these kinds of things says that, you can't glorify this in any kind of way by having memorials flagged at half staff. What do you think of that? Because that sort of sends the wrong message out?
I couldn't give you my opinion on that.
Uh-huh. I mean, it kind of surprised me, but I saw the point after a while, because, you know, people might think, yeah, that's one way to instantly boost your popularity.
Yeah.
And that might definitely send the wrong message out.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't raise your flag at half-mast, according to Nassau County's Middle Earth Crisis Center. Don't give a moment of silence, because this is not okay. This is a poor choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I guess what a lot of people don't think about in situations like that is what they leave behind, how people feel. I mean, people don't even know these people, how they feel. And
it was really, really terrible that day when we all found out. I was sitting in my English classroom, and my teacher teaches about four or five periods of the day, and the rest of the day he helps with administration. And he was walking in the classroom the whole time, and he had the worst face on. We knew that something was terribly wrong. And mm-hmm. he finally came back in the classroom, and he said, something terrible has happened, and the principal is going to go around the school, tell everybody. And he didn't want to tell us who it was yet, but one of the kids did know in the class.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there saying to myself, please don't let it be any of my friends. Please don't let it be anybody I know. And the fear I went through just sitting there waiting for them to tell us, it was horrible. And then when they finally told me, I was like, oh, my God. But I wasn't, but still, you know. And then, as it says at the top of the article for Kings Park, it says, lean on each other. It says, at Kings Park High School, students remember the day they learned a classmate committed suicide as the day the hallways felt silent. And I remember walking through the hallways, you know, after first period ended. It was mm-hmm. so weird, because as I walked through the hallway, it was so quiet. The school was dead silent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody just walked around with their heads down and the worst faces. We all looked like zombies. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this kid was really good in sports and grades, and he was a really nice kid, and people mm-hmm. didn't really catch on, and I heard that there were some signs, though, but people didn't really catch on.
It's not the kind of thing that people in high school are really ready for.
I know.
You know, because you're just at the beginning of your life, and to have something like that happen, you really don't know how to handle it. That's why, you know, it's very important to talk to people about this, to express yourself, because this is probably the the first instance of something really tragic like this happening.
Yep. And they had priests there. They had the principals, the teachers, all throughout the day. Whoever needed to talk, they came downstairs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other people were there too. A lot of other adults from other things were there helping kids too.
Yeah, I think that the same thing is happening at Ward Melville High School here in the Three Village area. They have people coming in from outside, professionals, to talk with them. And, of course, in this case, it's two people, not just one person. So I guess that makes it doubly hard. It was interesting. I sort of saw the direct aftermath of this particular event because we have a train that comes through here once in the morning, once at night. It's the double-decker train. It's got, seats on the top, seats on the bottom. And I saw this this train pull in, and I was across the street at one of the fine establishments over there. And, I was inside for about 10 minutes. When I came out, the train was still there, and that didn't make any sense because it shouldn't still be there. Obviously something had happened to make it not move any further, and apparently that's when they had discovered that they had run over these people, and of course they couldn't let any more trains go through.
Yeah. So, it's really terrible.
Yeah. If there's anyone out there that wants to call up and talk about this, we're here, and we're here all the time, actually. If people ever need to talk to us about anything, there's always somebody here round the clock. We're just normal people, not professionals or anything like that, but there's always somebody around.
I wasn't even sure that this show was even on anymore, because I called in a lot last year, and and I heard that Matt, right?
Yeah, right.
Matt didn't want to do it anymore because it was getting a little out of hand, but I listened to the show, I think during the end of the summer. I mean, I listened around this time, and I hadn't heard anything, so I just decided to listen in one more time tonight, and I heard you guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be here next week. In fact, I probably won't be here until the beginning of the year. So you might very well hear Matt's voice again.
Really?
That's just a fair warning there. it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to hear what Matt's been up to these past couple of months. But any closing thoughts on all this?
Not really.
Actually, we have a story coming out of Kings Park. Maybe you might have heard of this already, about a missing person.
Missing person?
Yeah.
Is it a kid?
16-year-old, yeah.
What's his name?
Her name. I'll read the story, and then you can tell us if you know the person or anything like that.
Okay.
Suffolk County Police are asking the public to help find a missing 16-year-old woman. Police say Sherry Zielinski of Kings Park has been missing since November 19th. They say she is currently under a doctor's care for depression. She does not have her prescription medication with her. She's described as a white female, 5 feet 6 inches tall, with hazel eyes and blonde hair. Anyone who has any information regarding her whereabouts are asked to call the police at 852-6195. That's area code 516.
She was in a couple of my classes last year, and she's in my social studies class this year, and I know exactly who you're talking about. And she has had problems last year. She has ran away last year. Her mother is very religious, very strict. She's had quite a lot of problems at home. One time last year, I don't know if this is the truth, rumors spread, I heard that she, ran away during the night, and she got picked up by somebody else. She finally came home, and I guess her mom is just, so strict. She just doesn't believe, in the 90s, and she's probably giving Sherry a hard time,
Well, I mean, they say that the number of things that can be troubling you at that age are almost overwhelming, whether it's pressure in school, pressure in athletics, pressure with your friends, pressure with your parents. And, it's really overwhelming at the time. But, a lot of people don't think there's a way out. There is. I mean, yeah, how do you get out from under really, strict, oppressive parents? Well, you can. There's plenty of people to talk to. There's plenty of places to go. And just because the law is laid down in a particular way, does not necessarily mean that's the way your life is going to turn out unless that's what you want. You always get what you want because, you know, unless you actually believe somebody saying that you don't have any say in it, if that's not true.
Mm. And I'm not just saying that the reason why she's gone is because of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Many other things, of course, and I guess her parents aren't there for her to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's plenty of people. Hopefully she has friends, and hopefully her friends will find out where she is.
It's not that easy to actually talk to your parents, you know, but...
No, it's not. In fact, it can be impossible.
Yeah?
It can be very impossible, and, you know, you're very lucky if you're able to at that age.
I actually, like, I talk to my dad about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. My mom, not as much, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a fairly common type of thing to have happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all, you know, some of us look a lot more perfect than others, but, yeah, there's turmoil in everybody's lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of times you just don't see it, you know?
I know.
I mean, everyone thought River Phoenix was living the model life.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
Just because he was in Hollywood and because he was an actor.
Well, I mean, especially when you're in Hollywood and you're an actor, you've got a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, a lot of bad things can happen to you. But there was somebody that you thought had overcome it, and he hadn't. He hadn't overcome it. He was very troubled, had a lot of, you know, problems with drugs, and people just didn't see the signs. Same thing with the case here in Setauket. People didn't see the signs. And it's tragic that that nobody did, because maybe something could have been done. But the important thing is to look out in the future for signs like that, because they will occur. All over the place, not just here, but all over the country.
And I know what it feels like to, like, things that you have nobody to talk to and that nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it feels like when everything just isn't going right and you feel like you're in a dark corner and just everything is totally not going right and you just don't know what to do. I know what it feels like. And, you know, it's because, like, right now, you know, teenagers were growing up, and this is the first point where we all experience stress, you know? And when you're a little kid, of course, you don't know what stress is, and everything's fine. But the first time you experience stress is now, and, you know, everybody's growing, and you're having totally new experiences, you're learning things, you know, the hormones and everything, and everything is so crazy at this time, and some kids just don't know how to deal with it, and it's really sad.
Well, you know, there's two things I find that get you through that. Number one is the realization that everybody has problems, everybody's going through turmoil, and the other thing is that, you know, you wake up one day and everything is rotten and lousy, and it's, you know, if you don't like rain, okay, there's plenty of rain, and it's dreary, and it just doesn't seem to be any reason to get up and do anything. The thing that gets you through that is knowing that for whatever reason, and it's hard to say what the reason is, but for whatever reason, in a couple of days, or even one day, or maybe as long as a week, you're just going to feel different. It's impossible to say why, but you'll look at the exact same day, the exact same, you know, circumstances around you, and you'll be able to overcome them. You'll be able to laugh at misfortune and just, you know, look at the positive things. And, you know, I haven't figured this out yet, why that is, why some days, you know, I feel completely miserable and I don't want to do anything, and I feel, you know, sorry for myself and completely full of self-pity. And then, you know, a day or two goes by and I'm totally different. I mean, just knowing that that's going to happen is reason enough not to give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when I think about it, when I think, geez, I hate my life, I think it's so terrible, and I just wish that I wasn't here, you know. And I think to my... suicide, or if anything did happen to me, what about my life in the future? I mean, think about it. What if I could have been, like, really good at whatever I do, or I could be making a lot of money in a couple of years from now?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing what can happen to you over the course of 10 years. I mean...
Your job, it could be where you go. There's so many more things to learn and to see. There's so many more things to do. And of course, you're not going to all do them in one day. You know, you have to wait. Days go by. You know, you
right.
learn more things, and that's what life is all about. It's not just going to happen one day. You know.
Right. I mean, you'll go places. You know, you'll go overseas. You'll see amazing things that you've read about in books. You'll meet people that are the most incredible people in the world.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't know that now because you haven't met them. You haven't seen these places. You don't know what's out there. But really, we're talking about a world of infinite possibilities. Infinite. And how you approach that is up to you. You know, if you decide to explore these infinite possibilities, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, disobey people and not follow advice. I mean, I don't think I followed anybody's advice in my entire life.
Uh-huh.
And at least what I get out of that is I know that I'm responsible for, you know, whatever shape I happen to be in. But I'm also responsible for finding happiness and for learning a lot and experiencing a lot. You know, if you follow somebody else's rules, you're going to be living somebody else's life. And very seldom are people happy living other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So make your own rules, go out there, and yeah, you'll disagree with people. Parents and relatives and maybe even friends will get upset with you for not doing it their way. But I think in the end, they'll wind up with a lot more respect for you because you'll be your own person.
Yeah, and don't be someone who you're not.
Exactly. And, you know, if you just follow your heart, you'll just feel better doing every step of the way because, you know, you may not know exactly where you're going. You're just walking down a road. You don't know where it leads, but it's the road you want to walk down.
I mean, I like photography.
Uh-huh.
I like writing. I like fashion. I like a million things.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple of years, I could be, you never know, if I really work hard, I could be a fashion designer.
Right.
I could be a photographer. I could be anything.
But if I asked you right now, okay, what are you going to do with your life? You know, how much money are you going to make in 10 years? You won't be able to answer that, and you're going to get all frustrated and upset trying to figure out what it all means.
Right.
I mean, when I went to college here at Stony Brook, I majored in English. Now, why did I major in English? I had a lot of clueless people asking me, well, what are you going to do with an English degree? You know, what's that going to do for you? How much do you expect to make? And that wasn't the reason why I was getting it. I wasn't getting it to make money. I was getting it because, A, it was the only subject I could probably major in this damn place. and B, it was the only subject I really felt a kinship to in any form. So that's what I did, you know.
That's,
and I didn't know where it was going to lead. As a matter of fact, you know, this diploma is pretty much sitting in my room. I haven't really done much with it. But at least I got some education out of it and some experience, and that led me to other things. So not in the traditional sense, no. It, you know, you don't go to school to get a job. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. I never have.
Go to school to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you do. It's a part of the life
and then
process.
Sooner or later, you find out what you're good at, you find out what you like, and
not only to learn, but to meet people that will affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it steers you in the way to your job, in a sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, listen, we're going to go on some other phone calls.
Okay, it was nice talking to you. What's
okay.
your name again?
Eric.
I'm Colleen.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
See you again.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
And since our lines seem to be all filled up, we're going to open up some other lines here. 632-6901 is our main number. But you can also call us at 632-6500. Some overflow lines there. And just let it ring. We'll get to you. Okay? We won't pick up until we're ready to talk to you. How's that? Okay. Good morning. You're on.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
What's on your mind?
I feel like the entire Three Village area seems to be like in a subdued state since the suicides.
That's true. They are.
I mean, I'm in junior high, and I went there on Friday, and just like a lot of kids didn't go to class. They just sat and talked to guidance counselors, and a lot of people went home. I went home. I mean, it's like nobody. It's like the entire area is just like subdued. They don't even know what to do about it or how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, I guess the parents are just realizing that they're, like, any kid can be this upset and they don't know it. Because I know, like, lots of people who have been, like, this upset and, like, you would never suspect it. They look like the happiest people on the outside, but, like, the inside, they're really, like, really upset. And I don't know how, adults deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know from an adult point of view what they think. But it's like, I think like everybody needs like to get everything out. And I don't know how they're going to do that, though.
Well, we all express this in a different way. You know, some of us are very open with it. Some of us stay to ourselves. But the thing we have to remember is there's no right or wrong way to express grief. You know, not showing any outward signs does not mean that you're not affected. You know, and that's something that I know adults get wrong a lot of times. They think that kids aren't acting in an appropriate way to a specific situation. And lots of times it just doesn't manifest itself outwardly. I think you're right. I think everybody here is affected in some way. I mean, you know, even those of us that didn't know the two people involved were affected. Because, it's just the proximity, the closeness. You know, something in our neighborhood that involved people that went to the same places we went to, saw the same things we saw, and yet somehow arrived at a completely different, awful conclusion.
I don't think, like, it's fair that they're not, like, raising the flag at half-mast. It's not glorifying what they're doing, but it's just showing that there's somebody who cares about what happens, and it's kind of saying, you know, we understand and we miss you. It's like saying goodbye, really, because it's like kind of like paying your respects, because not because they died and not how they died, but what kind of people they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not asking for like forgiveness for what they did. They obviously felt trapped.
Right.
And I don't think it's in any way glorifying it for people to say, okay, let's stop and we'll talk about it. They think, like, if you hold an assembly and you talk to the kids and you say, this is, you know, this is what they stood for and anybody can get this upset, but this isn't the answer. If you said that, that's not glorifying it, that's explaining it. And they're totally, they're not believing in that, they're not having faith in that. I think that upsets people more, that it seems like it's cold. It's like a cold answer to their death.
I see what you mean, yeah. And that is how I kind of took that at first. I don't know. I guess I haven't really made up my mind on that, whether that's appropriate or not. I do think something is definitely in order for something like this. It's hard to say because you don't want to make it seem like, like doing something like this will make somebody more popular, will make somebody be appreciated. We want to appreciate people while they're here, you know, and I think that's what we have to think of right now. We have to think of the people that are here, how this has affected them, and whether anybody else is as torn up as these two people were. I mean, I don't know if there are people listening that went to the high school that knew these people. Supposedly they were, you know, giving away their prized items and things like that. But one thing that all the radio reports and newspaper columns have not really been able to say is, what was the reason? Why? What was it that drove somebody to this?
I don't understand. Like, I think the press is not handling this whole thing well, because they were at my school, I know, on Friday, you know, trying to get answers for the public to know, but, like, they didn't tell people who they were, and they just asked questions. These people who were crying, you know, they'd ask them questions. Just, like, they made it seem like they weren't who they really were, just to get a story, and I thought that was really wrong.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't feel that's right. I mean, I knew the girls, and I just don't...
What was the press exactly doing?
They came to the school, and they started asking questions to students there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, saying, you know, if you say the names, then we'll pay you a certain amount. And people didn't understand.
What? They're paying people to say names?
Well, I know of one incident. I don't really want to, like, get into detail, but there was a kid who was paid to say the names of the girls before the press released them.
That pretty much tells you what the press does.
I just think that's really awful. I mean, I knew both the girls, and I don't think that's, like, what they wanted at all, for, like, the press just to try and get a story out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It meant a lot more to that, more than that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Well, believe me, if anybody knows who did that, let the rest of us know, really, because that's something that I think we all deserve to know, who's that sleazy that they would actually pay people for information like that.
It's just taking advantage of people's grief.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, having media people walking in the hallways of schools is totally inappropriate, and in funeral homes and things like that. I mean, it makes me embarrassed sometimes to be part of this whole, like, you know, media circus in some form, even though I try to stay away from people like that. But and something else that the media did, which really annoyed me, that was today's Newsday. They're trying to tie LSD into this somehow.
Well, the reason they took it, they weren't on drugs or anything. They took it because they didn't want to, like, feel it. They just wanted to, like, say goodbye without, like, you know, really thinking it over completely in their, like, full minds. You know, they already decided and they didn't want to, like, look back at all.
That's what I got out of this, too. Yeah, absolutely.
The press is, like, making it look like, you know, they were, like, troubled teens or whatever. And they had a section on this girl, Ellen. They said, oh, she enjoyed dyeing her hair different colors. That has nothing to do with her. They're just trying to make, like, a statement to make her seem like a stereotype. They're just stereotyping her just so like to make up their own answers for what they don't know. Because they want the public to like have answers that they can't give. And if they can't give answers, you know what, they don't have really a right to talk about what they don't know. And I think it's sad that like the fact they went to the houses and tried to interview the people who were mourning.
I don't know how they can do that.
That's awful because I know like the close friends of the girl. They have, like, a bunch of people over just to sit and, you know, try and talk things out and just be together just to try and cheer everyone up. And then the press is, like, knocking at their door asking questions.
I mean, what kind of questions can you ask somebody in a situation like that?
Well, the parents of girls also, and I think that's awful, too, because it's like you just lost part of your life, the biggest part of your life. And then there's some man you've never met before, a woman, you know, knocking at your door saying, what do you know?
Right, and of course this person does not really care. I've talked to media people many, many times because, you know, being in the line of work I'm in with computer hackers and all that, they're always coming after us talking various things. And I've had occasion to see these people work, and they don't care about the stories they work on. And they've said this to me. They said, you know, people don't remember from one day to another what story they're working on, and the thing that they do is they focus on that one day, on the one story, and then they move on to the next one, and that's how it works.
But it's like they're taking people's lives for granted. They're totally being inconsiderate. They have no right. They can destroy someone from the inside out by, you know, spreading, like, publicating things that, you know, aren't fully true or whatever. And they don't care because, like, as you said, they move on to the next story, and it doesn't matter. But these people, they have to, like, put their lives back together, and they don't need media, like, pushing them down again.
Right.
I mean, not just in this case, but, like, in other cases, too, like, for people who get, like, rumors in the newspaper. I mean, that affects their entire life and their career and everything. And the newspaper reporters, they don't really care. They got their story, they got their 5 minutes of fame, or maybe their reward, and that's it.
Right.
And that's not fair to people. I mean, there's freedom of the press and all that, but when you push it too far and you're getting into people's lives and people's hearts, it's not fair anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we don't in any way endanger freedom of the press by not talking to the press in certain situations. And I think this is one of them where enough is enough, you know. They shouldn't be crossing certain lines. And unfortunately, this is not an exception. This is the rule. But as far as the LSD connection, I really thought this was unfortunate the way Newsday decided to do this. They're making it seem like people who are taking LSD will all of a sudden be thinking of suicide, and I can guarantee you that's not how it works.
It's totally the other way around.
Right.
Who are thinking of suicide decide on LSD. Like they said in the paper, they said it took them months to plan this.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because they had no idea how to, you know what I mean? They didn't, like, know how they could get the stuff right away.
Mm-hmm.
They planned on, like, just making this their, like, goodbye, but it's just like they're making it seem like all druggies are, like, into suicide and they're just a bad crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just taking this the wrong way. I've known people who say, well, then this type of person, you know, then stay away from them because that's what they're into. And that's wrong, too, because anybody can be upset and anybody can think about suicide. And most every kid does.
That's true. Very good point. Most every kid does. And that's something that's not to be, you know, not to feel ashamed about or is something wrong with you, is something everybody, you know, thinks about at some point. Of course everyone thinks about it. But the important thing is to know who you can talk to and to take advantage of the people around you and, you know, talk to them. Because that's what they're there for. People experience similar things.
It's like they'll never know how much they miss just now because, like, they'll never get to meet their husbands, and their kids will never be born, and who knows if their kids would have changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can say that they wouldn't have, and it's like
they could have changed the world, too.
They could have changed the world. They were bright kids, and it's such a shame to, like, lose them. but I don't think they deserve to be disrespected at this point.
No, I agree.
In any way, like, I think what everyone needs now is just to know, like, the truth, and that's it. And not to try and make this another front page story.
Yeah, no TV movies, please.
I know, and that's what it all comes down to. You know, what are you going to watch on Thursday night?
Right.
In every case, you know, it's like they grab a hold of the situation, and they can make little incidents into big deals, too, and try and blow it out of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw, I don't know if it was in Newsday or some other tabloid paper, but basically they were saying how these two girls had a dark secret. And, you know, of course, they didn't tell us what the dark secret was. The dark secret was that they were planning to kill themselves. But they make it seem as if, you know, there's some evil lurking around. And basically what's happening is people are experiencing pain as they go through life. Nothing new there. What's tragic is that we, the ones that are remaining, still have not quite gotten a grasp as to how to deal with it, both when people are still here and even after they depart.
And the thing is, like, Newsday, you know, their slogan is the truth, justice, and the comics.
I think they should focus on the comics.
They focus, like, they don't care. It's like, it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, like, the parents of these girls feel with, like, hearing and reading these things, saying all these things, like, oh, they might have been into drugs and we're not sure and we don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're making, like, because these parents can never ask their kids again, you know, were they or not.
Right.
Are you or not, because they will never have the chance. And the only thing now is to make them just give them the reputation they were known for, smart, athletic people, and just having problems.
And find out why, and hopefully use what we learn to help others.
That's what I hope for. I hope that, like, the press gets the right idea. I hope somebody from the press is listening and understands that nobody wants this, especially when you knew the victims like I did and many of my friends did. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear rumors that they make up, because it's not fair to anybody now.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're, you know what I mean? They're just trying to make it something it's not, and it's just making it a whole lot worse for everyone else.
Okay.
And they don't deserve this at all.
I hear you.
And I think that this, like, doing what they do and bribing people in some ways, trying to get the news, is just totally wrong.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Okay, thanks for calling.
And I'd like to say hi to Chelsea and to Carol and to Casey and to Kelly.
What are people doing on a night like this? Are people getting together?
Yeah, there's lots of get-togethers. A lot of people just came back from a ski trip today.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just kind of, like, hanging around.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, just relax for the weekend.
Yeah. All right, well, remember, communication, that's the key.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
You too.
Okay, 632-6901, one open line there. 632-6500, two open lines there. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm a space robot, like small furry animals and little Hispanic children who named Chico. Who perform.
All right. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi.
What's up?
Not much. How are you?
This is Joe from Stony Brook.
How you doing?
Good. First of all, I want to say that some shows that have been playing on your radio station there have been really disappointing lately. Not your show, actually, but for instance, not like there's too many people out there that might even listen to the show, but on Thursday nights they have a show called USB. It's really bad lately. Really bad. It's supposed to be sort of like a hardcore rap show, but it's kind of like a really weak rap show, actually. Uh-huh. They play, like, really bad played-out music, and it sounds like 97.1 sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, well, I also want to say that some of your calls are really boring.
Uh-huh.
Especially the one about the Christmas tree and going out. It's not like anybody really out here really wants to know about Christmas trees and stuff and about getting them in the rain.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's people out there that do want to know. I mean, it's hard to say, you know? It's hard to say exactly what people want to hear.
Then again, maybe people can want to hear anything out there. So you would never know what people really want to hear.
Well, we've experimented with silence a few times. It hasn't really paid off.
Are you going to have the telephone conference tonight at all?
I don't really think we're going to do that tonight, only because of, you know, the events of the week. And I just think a lot of people, you know, want to call in about that. You know, we're open for that in the future. All right?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Well, what was that? That girl was talking about blowing stuff out of proportion. She sort of, like, blew it out of proportion by talking about it for about a half an hour.
Well, I mean, in a situation like this, that's you really do need to talk about situations, you know, about what's going on.
But she doesn't have to. She's talking about herself blowing out of proportion. Well, not herself.
No, I mean, it's not blowing it out of proportion to talk about it. It's blowing it out of proportion to bring in elements and make it into this, you know, screaming PM magazine type of thing. You know what I mean? It's that's blowing it out of proportion. You know, we're being human by expressing ourselves and by communicating with ourselves. All right. Ah, all right, 632-6901. We need an idiot filter on this phone. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Shut the radio off.
Okay.
Got some food for thought here.
Yeah.
Right. I do a lot of reading, and I found something very interesting. Basically, the definition of happiness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first definition of happiness: good luck, good fortune, prosperity. Okay. Second definition is a state of well-being characterized by relative permanence, by dominantly agreeable emotion, ranging in value from mere content to positive felicity, and by a natural desire for its continuation. Now, the unusual thing is, back in the 20s, these definitions were flip-flopped. And back in the 1800s, the mention of prosperity wasn't even there.
Really?
And it just kind of gives you an indication of where society is going.
More materialistic?
Oh, yeah. Like money, prestige, and power are going to make us happy. And these seem to be the things that, you know, that are enforced on us, basically, on a daily basis through, television, other people. And, you know, it's kind of sad because I really think we're an emotionally sick society.
I agree. In many ways, we are. I mean, I've seen, money and prosperity and power make otherwise happy people miserable. You know, it works the other way more than you know, the way we're led to believe.
I know for myself, today for myself, peace of mind is my most valuable commodity.
That's good. I mean, that's a very hard one to get.
Yeah, very hard. Yeah, but I know when it's for my speak because I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict.
Uh-huh.
It took me a long, hard, rocky road to get to where I am today, you know.
How long was that road?
Over 20 years.
Does take time. I mean, I have, you know, friends that I know need help, you know, and I don't know how to approach them, how to reach them, how to make them see that they're going down a bad path and they really need to shape up or their whole life is going to be over soon.
Right.
I mean, what was it that woke you up?
Wasn't anything that anybody else told me, that's for damn sure.
I mean, you just had to, live things out yourself? And
basically, I had to get to the point where, I was walking around in a state for almost 2-3 years where I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to die either. I just felt like I was going through the motions on a daily basis.
So what was it that finally turned you around? I mean, you must have had this, you must have tried to make things better several dozen times and always failed, but there must have been something that made you finally stick to it.
It was just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I took alcohol and drugs as a way to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where, for the longest time, that wasn't the case anymore. You know, I was doing it because I had to do it, and I was doing it because I had to do it, and it was no longer making me happy. It was making me very miserable, and it was making my life into a shambles.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's destroying everyone around me. I was losing jobs, careers. It was just a long, long, hard fall. And, I consider myself grateful today that, I've got 2 years of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And, You know, that I realize today that there are a lot of people out there that do need some sort of help. And that, you know, I consider myself very fortunate for it, you know, because, I mean, you know, I intravenously shot heroin
mm-hmm.
back in the 80s. You know, I've smoked crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've done things where people I associated with are either dead, sick and dying with AIDS, or, you know, well on their way to being there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself very fortunate today because it's a very scary scene out there, it really is.
Yeah, I know. It's very easy to find yourself in a situation like that, too.
Mm.
Is there anything you would have done differently? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have gotten involved in that in the first place, but, I mean, how does one avoid getting involved?
Well, you know, I considered myself, you know, and looking back in my youth, you know, I was listening to these two girls before you were speaking with, and, you know, as a teenager, I was that type of person. I had those kind of self-destructive type feelings, and drugs and alcohol tended to alleviate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, you know, it was, you know, my cure-all at the time, you know, because when I drank and when I did drugs, I didn't have to feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think that's why most people get involved with drugs and alcohol, because they just don't want to feel. They want to be numbed out.
Yeah, and that's just not a way to live life.
No, not at all. It's a way to escape life, basically.
Right.
I understand that today. You know, and that's all I was doing, was escaping life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got a second shot at it today, and it's amazing.
Yeah, how do things look now?
How do things look now?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just read you that definition of happiness. You know, for years and years, I was constantly bent on toys and more toys and more toys, thinking that these were the things that were going to make me happy. And, you know, once I got them, I got bored with them, and they never did make me happy. Today I understand that, you know, what makes me happy is peace of mind and the pursuit of peace of mind, you know. And I get it through, you know, different avenues today. You know, there's so many areas out there that can help people who, you know, want to stop using drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much beyond that, so much else that's out there. You know, people see the cheap thrills, and they think that's really the only path to happiness. But, you know, there's so many more scenic paths to happiness.
Mm. Well, you know, and it's funny, too, because I'm 38 years old, and... Mm-hmm. I grew up in a time when it was socially acceptable to drugs and alcohol. It was thought of the way to do things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was everywhere. It was in Hollywood. It was in music. And I think today, you know, people are being a little more educated about what it's really all about, you know. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's weird in a way because, you know, as kids always rebel against their parents. Well, now they're rebelling against the parents that went through the drug culture of the 60s. And in some ways, that's good because they're seeing the mistakes that their parents made. Now, there are some things that their parents did, a lot of things their parents did that weren't mistakes, and unfortunately, some of that's being rebelled against too.
Sure.
But that's part of the whole process. The important thing is that people see what's harmful to them and know how to avoid that. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that with smoking. More teenagers are picking up smoking today than ever before. In fact, they say very few new adults are picking up smoking. Most of the smoking is being picked up by kids. And this is a trend, I believe, began in 1987, which was the first year that Camel cigarette figure started appearing. And
there you go, Madison Avenue once again.
Yeah, of course, he's not aimed at kids, even though he's a cartoon figure. But
hey.
That's that's Madison Avenue, as you said. But, well, listen, best of luck to you, and I'm glad you called.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Take care. Only 38, but the guy's got a lot of knowledge, lifetime of knowledge, I think. And hopefully people don't have to experience all the hardships and pitfalls to realize how to avoid them. You know, I mean, after going through it, obviously you know a lot more about how to avoid them, but you don't have to go down that road in the first place. I don't want to sound like, you know, one of these Partnership for Drug Free America type people, because I'm not. I hate that organization, but it's, you also don't want to do things that
will cause you pain and harm and hurt the people around you and things like that. All right, 19 minutes after 1 o'clock. Our numbers are 632-6901 and 632-6500. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing?
Called you before. No, this thing, you know, about...
All right, well, make it fast then, because we have a lot of other people that haven't gotten through yet.
Yeah. No, I just wanted, you know, they say, you know, like, between 15 to 24 years old are, like, the most
difficult
times of your life. I think that's true.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
absolutely
pressure.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot of pressure from friends, family.
Well, look at what you got. You got puberty. You got high school, the end of high school, graduation, college entrance exams, college itself. you know, all that.
Sometimes, you know, things get built up that sometimes, you know, you do think about, you know, suicide and you know, like, you don't want to deal with it no more. But, you know, other ways, you know, life can be, you know, fulfilling. You know, like my friend says, you know, life is like a bucket of sludge with an occasional pearl in it.
Well, I guess that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, you know, some, you know, in my life, suicide has like entered my mind a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But for certain things, but then, you know, it's like that guy said, you don't want to die or, you know, you don't live or die.
But, you just kind of want to exist.
And then sometimes, you know, like you wake up some mornings and you're like fed up.
Yeah.
Like you hate life itself.
Yeah.
And there's days that, you know, you're just like, you know, I'm glad to be alive, but it's hard.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, it's not wrong to feel like that, and that's something you gotta understand.
A lot of parents, I think, don't understand the pressures that their kids go through.
I know.
I don't care. You know, it wasn't like that in the 60s. Well, drugs and everything wasn't as bad as it was when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they put a lot of pressure on their kids, and then the kids, you know, start looking for other ways to feel good, or sometimes they start, you know, like that guy said, using drugs or hanging out with wrong people.
Right.
You know, parents, and then parents wonder why kids rebel, you know, against them, because they don't understand.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
and then
you gotta let kids be their own people, because they are people.
Yeah. But then,
very basic
thing. You know, you're like 17, 18 years old, you really haven't lived life long enough either to experience.
True. Oh, no, I mean, you know, the kids don't have all the answers, obviously, but...
And then that's why a lot of kids, you know, talk to kids instead of, you know, like, older people, because, you know, they think that the older person is not going to understand. But the kid, if you go to another kid that's your age, he's not going to know that much either, because he hasn't lived life long enough either. You know? But, you know, they're there, you know, friends could be there, you know, for support and, you know, like, those...
Well, obviously, we need to be able to talk to all generations here.
And I
because
think
there are things our grandparents can be telling us, too, that will be very helpful.
Another thing, too, people have trouble, you know, letting things out. You know, they have trouble of...
Absolutely.
...expressing themselves, and then they keep the bottled in, and then it just builds up.
But, you know, the thing is, we're almost encouraged to have that kind of difficulty where we can't express ourselves. You know, we're taught not to be emotional. We're taught not to let certain sides of us show... And I think, you know, in order for us to be understood as human beings, we have to let the bad side show as well as the good side, because everybody has a bad side.
And if you don't let that bad side show, you're going to be in pain.
Right, because the bad side is just going to be, you know, you're the only one that's going to see it, you're the only one that's going to know about it, it's going to become your dark secret, you're going to feel like it's something unhealthy and bad, and you'll be ashamed of it, and meanwhile, you might be able to help somebody else that's having similar feelings, and believe me, you'll feel a lot better talking to somebody about this.
Well, you feel like you have problems, you might feel like you're the only one, but, you know, everybody has some sort of problem in their life, you know, like, you know, whether it be, you know, school, job, relationships, you know,
absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely.
It's just like one cycle, and it's like everything, it's like a, it's like Italian dressing in one of those jars, you know, you shake it and everything's like all floating around.
Uh-huh.
No, that's the way, you know, it could be, and just...
Yeah, but one thing, I mean, you just... Don't measure life by TV standards. That's the most important thing I think we have to learn is that's not the way it really is.
They exaggerate too much.
Exaggerate all the time.
And they don't care who they hurt to get the story or who they humiliate. You know, and it's
well, I'm talking about fictional TV. I'm talking about, you know, what's on in prime time, because life doesn't follow that formula.
Life is not like the Brady Bunch.
No, or Full House or whatever garbage is on these days. It's just not. And that's as simple as I can put it. But it's much better than that. That's the good part.
Their problems are solved in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And those shows, you know, like, you know, people's problems.
Yeah, well, imagine how boring life would be if our problems got solved in a half hour.
Yeah, but imagine a lot of people that would probably still be alive.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I could survive in a world like that.
Yeah, that's true. But,
yeah. I think it would drive me crazy.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Hang in there.
Bye.
632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. What's on your mind?
What?
What's on your mind?
What time do I mind?
No, what is on your mind?
Well, I have this problem.
Okay.
I know this guy, and he's infected.
With HIV?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm really afraid to tell someone because I know she's been, like, sleeping with him.
Uh-huh. Well, and you're reasonably sure he hasn't told her?
Yeah, I know. I know he hasn't. And now I'm, like, really scared because, like, he's been doing, like, all this sick stuff. Like, just tell he doesn't care about his life anymore.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm definitely afraid of him, you know, because, like, he knows I know.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm so afraid to tell anybody, you know. But I have to warn people.
How did you find out?
How did I find out?
Yeah.
Because he was in jail with one of my friends, and they read it on his sheet or something. They were standing behind him doing something, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And they told him in the flip cell or whatever. I mean, they had to take blood tests while they were in jail.
Yeah. I mean, there's... how old is this person?
He's like 20.
Uh-huh. See, there's... obviously a whole big controversy about, you know, the right of people, you know, privacy and all that. And, in fact, it was just a case I heard about on the radio today where somebody broke into a hospital's computer room and stole a computer that had all the names of the people that were infected.
No way.
Yeah. And who knows where that's going to lead. But, you know, in vast majority of cases, I agree that, you know, the patient's privacy is paramount, that, you know, people don't have the right to know these intimate details, like, you know, who is infected and who is not, because the reason being, it does not affect you in day-to-day life. There is no reason for you to know, unless this person wants you to know, that they are infected, because, you know, as a coworker or somebody that, you know, that you live with or go to school with or what have you, it does not affect you. I mean, except on an emotional level, perhaps, but you are in no danger. In this particular case, though, this person obviously is at risk.
Yeah, I know.
And, I mean, do you consider yourself to be friends with this person?
Yeah.
Well then not. I would do what friendship dictates in this particular case. And I would say that, you know, as a friend, you should definitely go to this person. It's not, you know, a violation of somebody's privacy in this particular case. It would be a violation, say, if, you know, his name was published in the newspaper and, you know, a big warning was issued saying, you know, stay away from this guy because he's infected. That's, you know, that's where we don't want to go to. That's the kind of society we want to stay away from.
Oh, I'm not saying anything like that. I'm
right.
Like, he's scary. Like, he's to the point, like, he's scaring people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, 'cause some people know, and then he's just, like, he don't care, like, who he sleeps with. He don't care what he's doing. He's friggin', he's at the point where he don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I understand the feeling when you're at a situation like that. I guess he doesn't have AIDS. He's HIV positive.
Yeah, he doesn't have it yet.
Yeah, I mean, people have lived for long periods of time without being infected. And I think it's been over 10 years some people have lived. And if you take care of yourself, I mean, you could ride this out. There could be a cure. There could be a, you know, some kind of a an inoculation against it that could be developed. They just started today some new experimental treatments. So there is hope. I know it's, you know, it sounds like something, you know, too optimistic to believe, but, it's really what you have to believe.
Yeah.
But as far as other people becoming involved, we also have an obligation to those other people. We have to make sure that, you know, if we know somebody who's in danger, we tell them they're in danger. I mean, yeah, the guy is scary. The guy is scaring people, but, you know, if we allow somebody who's scary to dictate what we do, I think the effects will be worse, don't you?
Yeah, I just don't know what to do. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Are there other people that know about this that you know?
Yeah, there are.
Have you talked about it with them?
No.
Uh-huh.
Well, not really. I'm afraid to.
Yeah, think you need to decide where you want to go with this, but, you know, don't involve other people that aren't related to the whole thing.
I still don't know, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is to talk about this and not to let it become a secret that you hide within yourself.
Yeah, no.
All right?
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Hey, listen.
I don't know where that other person came from, but I had already hung up by the time he came in. All right, 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. About the suicide?
Yes.
I was thinking about, everyone knows the seriousness of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if they were to go through with it and actually go through with it, have courage to do it, they must have really wanted to.
Yeah.
And about the LSD thing in the paper,
uh-huh.
I was reading that. I didn't know why that was such a big factor. Like, it seemed like they wanted something to, like, blame it on. Like, you know how people do. And
right, yeah, you want to be able to say, well, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for this.
Yeah, right. And then, like, the next page or whatever, they had, like, an article about how LSD is coming back in the 90s. I mean, it never left.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I guess it's just, like, since this is coming up, so, like, bringing it back, like, something like...
Yeah, LSD is an experience that, this is my personal feelings here. They're not the station's feelings. They're not anybody else here. LSD is something I think everybody should experience at some point in their lives. But it can also be the worst experience of your life if you do not do it properly. And that means if you do it in a bad environment, if you do it with the wrong people. But if you do it with people that are experienced, that are friends, and that you trust, you can suddenly see things in a completely different way. And I don't advise doing this repeatedly over and over again. You know, I advise very rarely doing something like this, because you at least have some kind of an understanding of just alternative ways of experiencing virtually every sense. But again, you know, it's not something to be taken lightly.
Right. I mean, a couple times you try it, like, just to experience it, just to get that feeling, like, and know about it. But, I mean, you can't do too much, and you can't blame, like, I don't think they have the right to blame it on that, you know? I mean, it didn't say they did it all the time,
mm-hmm.
anything like that. To actually do it, it must have been something really, like, serious. And, I mean, both of them doing it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just seems...
Well, I mean, I think the previous caller had it right when she said that it was basically something they were doing to, you know, as part of their final experience. They had planned it out, and it was to avoid the pain.
Right.
I mean, LSD certainly did not lead them down this road. They were going down this road for some other reason, and I'm not sure if that's something we'll ever find out exactly what that was all about.
Why do you think this is so big in, like, the media and everything? I mean, there's a lot of suicides.
This is different. This is two very young people in a fairly prosperous community, no outward signs of problems, and to have this suddenly happen like this, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there are a lot of suicides, but not like this.
Yeah.
It's different somehow, you know?
Right, I hear you. Okay.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. 632-6901,
632-6500, good morning.
Hi, what's up?
How you doing?
As a space robot, I'd like to how was I going to say?
Well, space robots should know what they're going to say. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
How you doing?
Yo, the girl about the AIDS thing?
Yeah.
Person,
can't hear you.
That girl's my cousin, dude.
Well, then you have plenty to talk about with her. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi. Don't you think this show is a little too depressing?
Well, if we ever had a day to do a depressing show, I think this is probably the day to do it.
Yeah, but I'm not into this depressing stuff. I wanted to liven up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to let everyone know, you know, stop dwelling on this suicide thing. I mean, yeah, it's in the news and everything, and it's horrible, but
uh-huh.
I really want, you know, it to liven up a little bit, even though it's rainy and everything else.
Do you live in the neighborhood?
What?
Do you live in the neighborhood? I mean, are you part of the local neighborhood?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. What do you mean?
I mean the Three Village area.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it might be hard for people outside the area to see it, I guess. But, I mean, there are a lot of people out there today that I think need to talk about this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, I guess some people, you know, they're allowed to because, you know, they feel they should and they have to let out their feelings and everything. But I think that other people should call in, too, and talk about other things, other topics.
Sure. We're open to anybody calling in. But, I mean, if there's anybody out there that needs to talk about this, that's what we're here for.
You're welcome to. But can I just say I have a joke?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's kind of stupid, but it's about Michael Jackson and how, you know, all this garbage about him and running away and stuff.
Okay.
What college did Michael Jackson go to?
What college did Michael Jackson go to? Well, a lot of people think he went here because there were a lot of signs that said Michael Jackson is ugly a couple of years ago, but no, he didn't go here, so I don't know. Where did he go?
Brigham Young University. Did you get it?
Yeah, Brigham Young.
Right?
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Very, that was pretty cute.
Very funny. You think that one up yourself?
Yeah.
Good. Well, you have a future in entertainment, I'd say.
Well, I figured it'd bring a light to the show.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, we do need a good laugh now and then, that's for sure.
Hell yeah, because it was just like everyone, caller after caller, was just like getting down. I was like, oh, let me lighten this up.
Yeah, we have those space robots stuck in there every now and then, too. That's,
those are pretty wild.
I don't know, which is more depressing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
But, anyway, you're not going to do teleconference, right? I heard that before.
Not tonight, only because it doesn't really seem appropriate, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
but how do you feel about Christmas coming up? Are you excited or you don't
like it? I'll tell you, the timing of this, I don't know. Well, you know, actually, sometimes, some years, it just feels like a big ordeal. This year, it doesn't really feel like that much of an ordeal. I think maybe I alternate. Maybe one year, it feels like an ordeal, and the next year, I can kind of take it. But just, I guess it's just the, I don't know, the aggressiveness. It's the most aggressive holiday in the world. They push everything down your throat, you know, in the month ahead of this holiday. It's just, it's total mayhem.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to deal is just to kind of sit back and watch things going on in front of you and not get caught in the crowds.
Right.
That's what I try to do. Sometimes I just go away and hang out for a while. I mean, you know, I'm going to Kansas next week.
Oh, really?
Because Kansas is big.
Uh-huh.
It's barren. It's cold. And it's just that place you can think.
Right.
And, you know, why not? You know, I've never been there before.
Yeah.
Kind of place you need to sort of, you know, get things in order.
Yeah.
Philosophize a bit.
Mm-hmm. So, I hope that we start getting snow, though.
Yeah.
Really like
snow is great.
Yeah.
Snow is great. I mean, I don't know what happened to all the snow.
Uh-huh.
I talk about this with a lot of people. I say, you know, in years past, we had more snow than we have today. And they say, oh, yeah, sure. That's what all old-timers say. But it was true. You know, only 10 years ago, we had more snow.
Yep.
I don't know why we don't have more snow.
No, about maybe even 5 years ago, we had a lot. We had snow on Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, but we haven't recently. It's been too hot and, you know. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
think it's
forward to the cold.
It's willpower. If we all kind of, you know, think about how nice it is, maybe it'll happen.
Hopefully.
I know it sounds childish, but it does work sometimes.
Yeah, hey, maybe. Like an Indian rain dance or something.
Anything,
know.
Yeah, why not?
But it was nice talking to you.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the joke.
Okay.
All right, take care. 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. This is Brain Damage. It's Saturday night. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my God. It's about time. I'm sorry.
Okay. How long were you waiting for?
I got a really big problem.
Yeah.
See, I've known these people since I was, like, really young, since I was, like, 5 years old, and they came over last night, okay? Like, early, like, around 11.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, really, like, annoying people. And they left. My mom's really into politics, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she didn't make them watch politics, finally, when they all came over.
Yeah.
And my friends, John and Sam, came over.
Okay.
And they're still over here now, and my mom has trapped them here. She's talking to them about politics.
Wow.
And she won't stop.
Wow. She's got them in a politics chokehold there.
She's like, shut up.
Well, I don't know. There's really no easy way out of something like that, you know? Well, it sounds like it's getting nasty over there.
And My friend, we're sitting here trying to play a game. I'm trying to tell my friend that I'm on the radio right now. And my mom was like, oh, Sam, here's the rest of the book. She's talking about the royal family, and I'm really scared. And she won't get off. And I'm playing Othello with my friend's brother. And
Persistence is the key here. You gotta be able to stand up to this, because eventually, you know what a filibuster is? That's where you get up, you know, in front of a house of politics.
I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio right now, and I'm talking about you, talking about my friends. I swear, I'm really on the radio.
She is on the radio. Yes.
I'm on brain damage.
Yeah, no question about that. But if you just kind of you know,
just realizing that I'm on the radio.
Hang in there and.
Just Sam, my friend. She's finally realizing that I'm trying to get her off.
All right. Well, I think the situation is unfolding there pretty rapidly, and we'll have to.
No, I can't do that now. I finally got through.
Yeah. We'll have to send the crew over there and update our listeners. Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing that with us. See who else is out there. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a problem.
Okay.
I have to get rid of my roommate.
You got a very loud mouthpiece there, but okay.
I'm sorry, I have to get rid of my roommate.
Yeah, you have to get rid of your roommate. Well, why don't you ask him to leave?
Well, no, I want him, for next semester, I want my own room.
You want your own room?
I want my own room.
You're at the State University of New York at Stony Brook?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, getting your own room is kind of difficult. But we do have these asbestos-laden dormitories that are currently closed. You might be able to get a room in there.
Well, I'd like to do that. He likes staying here.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want to leave.
Well, you know, they do have singles. You have to pay more for them. You can buy out your room.
Yeah, I would do that.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you do that?
Well, I'd like to. The key is getting them out.
Well, you might have to go to a different room. I mean, do you have to stay in the same room?
I have to stay in this room.
Why?
Because I work on campus.
So? All the rooms are on campus, you know.
I have to stay in the room because of my job.
Now, wait. You're losing me here. Why do you have to stay in that particular room because of your job?
Yeah, because I'm an RA.
Oh, so you have to stay, at least you have to stay in the same hall.
Yeah.
Right? All right, that's a problem. I mean, as an RA, aren't you supposed to be able to deal with these kind of things?
I am, but that's why I came to your advice.
Well, I'm not the RA of the sky or something? I'm not a master RA here.
Yeah, but see, the key is this. He's in the room right now, and he's hearing this.
Oh, well, then
you... this subliminally will work.
Then you definitely have a problem, because if he's hearing this, it's not going to be very subliminal. It's going to be pretty direct, and you're going to have a big, long conversation with him after I hang up, won't you?
Well, yes and no, I guess.
Well, then I suggest you get started on it right now. Good morning.
Hey, Space Robot Poopy Shit.
All right. Good morning.
Hey, what's up,
Dad? How you doing? What's up?
Hey, get your radio show.
What's that about my radio show?
How do you get your own radio show?
Oh, how do you get your own radio show? Well, you take the training course here at WUSB, which is offered, I think, 3 times a year. The next one will be in January, I think, January or February.
How old you got to be to do it?
You can be, you're old enough to talk. I think that's old enough.
Yeah?
Yeah, so you come by the radio station, you call the radio station, find out when that begins,
mm-hmm.
and you show up and you learn.
Tell me more.
Well, that's pretty much all there is to it. You learn all the technical things, and then you just get involved.
You do.
You spend, 20 hours a day here. You learn the innards and outers of the radio station, and you make sure everybody gets to know you, and you do a show like no one else can do.
Yeah, I'm real proud of you.
Well, thanks. Real proud of you, too, and I know... our paths will cross in the future when you become a media superstar. Good morning.
What's up?
How you doing?
Listen, serious question.
Serious, yes, go ahead.
What do you think about the legalization of marijuana?
I don't know. You know, it's it seems pretty silly to be outlawing a plant. It's
seriously, did you realize how many problems it would solve?
Well, I'm not thinking of the economic problems and things like that.
I mean, crime-wise.
Right. It would probably solve a fair number of them. But, you know, of course... tobacco is legal, and there's all kinds of corruption as far as that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana is not the best thing for your health. That's something I just want to get across. But there's no reason for it not to be legal, because lots of other things that are much worse for your health are.
The government would make a lot of money. Alcohol does a lot more damage than marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it should be legalized.
Yeah, it's long overdue, actually, as far as that goes. What do you think of the rest of drugs, though?
Something like stupid... cocaine or crack. That's stupid crack, man. That should be, totally illegal.
Yeah.
Get rid of all that, man. So
well,
legalize,
you know,
if they legalized marijuana, I think there'd be a lot less problems.
You see, I think the thing is, the key is not so much to say, well, this is illegal, so therefore people aren't going to do it, but basically to get people not to want to do it in the first place.
Yeah, but it was almost legal around maybe 1978. Then Nancy Reagan came into power and said, say no to drugs, and then it just everybody thought that marijuana was a drug along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went down.
Yeah, I know. The Partnership for Drug-Free America does that all the time. They, you know, they have one commercial about the evils of crack, then one commercial about marijuana as if they're the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're not. I mean, crack is something horrible, and marijuana is something that really will not hurt you any more than cigarettes. I don't care what people say. It's true.
I know. It's totally wrong the way they have the system there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, there are so many politicians out there. You know how many people that would vote for it, yes, to be legalized?
Well, you know, there's never referendums on issues like that.
That's because everybody's too scared to represent it, and they think, oh, I won't get voted into office.
Mm-hmm.
They're too afraid because they think that there's too many people out there that would say no. But there are a lot of people that would say yes.
I mean, we're living in a society where somebody running for president has to claim that he didn't inhale marijuana cigarette. I mean, that's insane. That's you know, that's a lynch mob out there that has no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, yeah, so what? He smoked a whole field of marijuana. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't affect the person you are.
It was legal up until 1937,
mm-hmm.
and then around World War II, it became legal again, just for the war, because of the hemp plant,
mm-hmm.
the Victory plant, they called it, and then it totally went dead again, and they just blurted all that out.
Well, we're talking values, you know, values of society, and we have pretty messed up values, as you know.
And the government grows it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They give it out for medical use, and it's just messed up. I think it should be.
Well, talk to people. Get involved. You know, things do change.
I
mean, we
have an organization, the Coalition for Legalization of Weed or something like that.
Well, I mean, you need to start an organization that has some respect behind it, and not just an organization of people that go around smoking pot all the time, because, I mean, you're just not going to get the respect of most people if you do that. But some intelligent, like scientific types saying your position and explaining why it makes sense, you just might get somewhere.
I think it should be at least legal to grow a plant. I don't see why it's illegal.
Yeah, that's insane. And you know what? You know what I suggest, just to throw everybody off? Plastic marijuana plants. It drives them crazy. They see them in the window. You know, they come into your house and they see these plants and they think they're real and they arrest you and then it turns out they're plastic and then you sue and make a lot of money and get real plants.
Where do you get a real plastic plant?
I think they have them in some mail order catalogs.
Yeah, though?
I don't know. Those, you know, you gotta look for those cool catalogs that have those kind of things in them. I don't know exactly who has them, but I do know they exist. If you ask around, you'll find them.
I'd like to find that.
Yeah, another thing people have to be aware of, electric companies, power companies actually do this. They are able to tell if you suddenly change your power output so that you have like a greenhouse.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if you have a greenhouse, you might be growing marijuana, and all of a sudden the media, or the law enforcement people, and then the media are alerted to all this.
Oh yeah, but they also have aerial surveillance where they have heat detectors, so that they can detect where the heat's coming out.
Yeah, it seems pretty silly to me. I agree with you there.
It's really retarded. And besides, what if you had a greenhouse that worked on solar power? How would they detect it then?
Good point. I don't know how they'd manage that one. Listen, we're going to move on, but thanks for the suggestions.
No problem, man.
All right, take care. Something to watch for the future. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing?
What's
how many
on your
pounds
mind?
Have you dropped?
I'm sorry?
How many pounds have you dropped?
I'm sorry, there was a beep in that one word. How many what's have I dropped?
How many times have you dropped?
Oh, well, I don't really want to get into, you know, details, but let's just say I've been there, okay? And I, you know, it's something that you got to be careful of. You know, I experienced the good and the bad.
Sure.
And I know that if you experience the bad, it can be really, really bad. It can be something that, you know, is makes you fall into a panic.
But
somebody there that can guide you back,
really,
is the best thing. I'm sorry? Yeah, it can be really good, too. But the most important thing is once you come out of it, you have an experience that you will never forget. And that experience allows you to just somehow see all different aspects of any situation. You can see how people do not see on your particular level, your particular point of view.
But you haven't answered my question yet.
Well, I'm not going to give you a number. Sorry, I can't.
It's like a ballpark figure.
I can't. Not very often. Not very often at all. But, you know, the experiences I have had have been, you know, intense enough for me to remember them for a long period of time. I don't intend really to do it again because I've had enough, you know. The experience is not something that I need to go back to. It's something that was an experience. I know what it's like. It's like going to, you know, a foreign exquisite place that's interesting to go to and if you learn something from, but there's so many other places to go to that you don't need to go back. And I don't mean that's necessarily there's so many other drugs to take. I mean there's just so many other things to do in life. I just consider that to be something in life to try. And,
a
you know, you move
stone.
On. I'm sorry?
Stepping stone.
Yeah, stepping stone of sorts. Exactly. Exactly. And with the right environment, I mean, I got to understand the dead a lot at that particular point in life. I mean, before that, I didn't understand it.
Didn't understand it.
I didn't understand. It didn't make any sense to me. But all of a sudden, at that point, I realized there's something there. There really is something there. And from that point on, it just became kind of a very soothing way of interacting with people. Not the drug so much, but just, I don't know, just the experience. Just the past experience, the music, the people. I was able to appreciate it more through that.
You can appreciate the sky more often.
Mm-hmm. The sky?
The sky, yeah.
It's funny you should say that, because during one of my experiences, I spent a lot of time talking to the sky. Yeah,
The sky,
that's what I'm talking about. The sky, the stars, the moon, I was talking to all of them. And it seemed like they were talking back. It was pretty weird. And it was moving, too. You know?
Sure.
It was moving, and, you know, I closed my eyes at one point, and I could just see these skeletons, these skull figures, just like you see on the Dead albums, except I wasn't thinking Dead albums, but... You open your eyes, and you see things shooting around. You know? And then there's all these, like, different sensations with your fingers. You have, like, 20 fingers, and all of a sudden... You know, there's all these different people floating around, and you don't know why you're standing up. You know, what is it that's keeping you up? And you keep getting into these long conversations that go all over the place. I remember the one thing that I really tried to do. I was outdoors in Maine, and I was trying to make a phone call because I wanted to capture myself on my answering machine. So I was making a calling card call from a payphone. And all I remember was the payphone kept quacking like a duck and wouldn't stop. And I got into this big argument with the operator who didn't seem to understand the numbers I was saying. And I was trying to explain what the numbers meant. And the thing is, you know, after a long, prolonged conversation with the operator, the call finally went through and I was talking to my answering machine. I was able to have this long soliloquy that I preserved so that I would remember that day.
I love that word, soliloquy.
Yeah, it's a good word. It's appropriate for the day. But the most important thing, you know, people should not get involved with this kind of thing if they're in a bad situation. You don't do this alone. You don't do this as a way to escape. That's not what it's about. You know, you do this as a way of learning something, and you don't keep doing it. It's something to try, just like anything else is something to try, but you have to be very careful, and it's not for everybody.
Truthful.
I'm sorry?
Truthful.
Yeah.
You know, care is, you know, for sure. And I'm going to leave it.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Bye.
I was going to ask him the same question he asked me, but I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think it was a good idea. Good morning.
Morning. When are you headed for Kansas?
Not sure exactly what day, but fair guess next week at this time, that's where I'll be.
In the near future.
Fairly near future, yeah.
Interstate, you have some time to enjoy it?
I'm going to wander around, yeah.
Well, if you take, like, Route 6, takes you through all the little towns and everything.
Well, speaking of little towns, do you know in Kansas there is a town called Home?
Well, I was going to tell you there's a lot of interesting towns. I've been all over this country.
But listen to the significance of this. There's a town in Kansas called Home. Now, Dorothy, at the end of The Wizard of Oz, says there's no place like home. No place, and she comes from Kansas. So Dorothy is obviously from Home, Kansas.
Exactly.
Yeah. I figured that out just by looking at a road map.
Well, there's another little community. I don't know the area code. It's a number of years ago. I'm not sure if they've... They must have grown with the gay liberation, but it's called Ferry, Texas.
Really?
Yeah. If
Ferry,
you research
Texas.
That one, try the different area codes and... I did it with a DJ. I gave him the area code at the time, and he had a lot of fun with the operator, and he I got through information in the yes for the Queen. But that over the air was really a riot.
Uh-huh.
He put on a special voice and everything.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of interesting towns. Another one in Nebraska, spelled F-U-N-K.
Uh-huh.
It's a great place for a university.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There was a fluffy landing Florida, which I thought was...
Well, there's a truth or consequences in New Mexico.
The rabbit hash Kentucky, that one always fascinated me.
There's a lot of interesting places out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and most of them are really, really tiny and small. But I guess, you know, in a small town, you really, a name means a lot.
Well, the little towns, too, that's what I was asking. If you have a little time and get to stop and you see the different dialects and culture of the people and what have you.
Yeah. I'll tell you, honestly, a lot of time when I'm there, I wonder, how do people survive in a place like this? How do you live your entire life in a town with no more than, say, you know, 150 people?
Well, you have to ask yourself the same thing about other places like Somalia or Guyana or whatever.
Yeah.
You're born into it. You don't know any better.
Yeah.
So you grow up there, and then that's why a lot of people, when they, with the technologies of the modern day, they realize there's other things to see, and they want to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of people that are very happy in the... Well, if you've never been out west, there's a whole new world opening up to you because...
Yeah, I've wandered around out there. I drove across Texas last winter.
Well, you've been in some of the big sky country.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of interesting things there.
Yeah. At least you're not going in the spring because that's when the tornadoes are the worst.
Well, you know, I kind of like to see a tornado, but I guess that might be pushing it a bit.
You don't want to see him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. But at the same time,
here,
I'm a curious person, you know?
Yeah, because you never know which way they're going to go.
That's true. But that's part of my whole life experience type of thing, you know, seeing how certain things work and what can possibly happen.
Earthquakes and everything, too, so it's interesting experiences, but the earthquake is probably most frightening because there's no place to go. They tell you not to go outside because you got trees and live wires falling down and buildings and stuff all around.
Uh-huh.
And the only safe place they say is in the archway of a door. That's got the most support.
It's funny, that's the same place to go in an earthquake.
Well, that's what I'm saying for an earthquake.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a tornado. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, a tornado, you want to get down the basement, the corner.
Storm cellar, right. Hopefully you would have one in the first place. That's why it's not really good when they happen here, because we don't always have one.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for calling. I'll let you know how it goes.
Great trip, and I hope you'll talk about it when you get back. But look up some of those towns and see if you can give a call to Ferry Texas on the air sometime.
Okay. And you definitely gave me an idea there.
Okay, good luck.
All right, thanks for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500. Kenyon is nice enough to have donated about 10 minutes out of his show. 10 or 15 minutes. Wow, this is really nice. Because there's so many people waiting to get on. All right, so you heard the numbers. Give us a call now if you're going to give us a call at all. And we'll try to get to everybody. Good morning. That's one person we're not going to try to get to. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, shit. Hi, this is Samantha. Can we also... Dad, I'm on the radio.
I feel like I'm one of the Beatles.
Sorry. Okay, this is Samantha, Camille's politician friend.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. You survived the politics debate there?
Yes, I'm in the safety of my own home now.
Uh-huh.
I memorized why Henry VIII beheaded two of his wives, why he divorced the rest of the four of them.
How many wives did Henry VIII have?
Six.
Six, very good. Some people say Henry VI had eight wives, but that's wrong.
And let's see what else. I have memorized all the kings and queens from 1066 when the monarchy in England started.
And who is that guy's name that started the whole thing?
What?
Who is that guy's name in 1066?
Oh, I know this one. Yeah. I know this. No, it wasn't Frederick.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
It was Billy the Kid.
No, I can't. Oh, my God. She showed me like 10,000 books.
William the Conqueror, one of those guys. Yeah.
Oh, now I'm in the safety of my own home.
Well, that's good. That's good. You got home pretty fast, I'll say that.
I live right across the street.
Well, there you go. You must have run over there.
Yeah. We left my brother with
with Camille's mom, so now he's probably learning everything that I learned.
Well, you have to make sacrifices sometimes. And
poor kid.
Sometimes,
yep, I guess so.
That's what you have to do.
Oh, wow, this is so cool. I'm on the radio.
Yeah, well, all right, anything else you want to say? Because we got to move on to these other people.
Hi, Nicole. Yeah, I'd like to say hi to my best friend, Donna, and hi, Chrissy, and everybody else.
I think they're listening.
Well, I doubt they're listening, but hello.
Okay. Well, I'm sure if they're listening, they've heard that.
Okay.
And thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Whew, a lot of commotion going on out there tonight. Yeah, good morning.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Now, let me tell you something.
All right.
You think if the government, U.S. government, would receive a percentage of profit off of maybe every ounce that comes into the U.S.?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they would, and I'm sure they do.
Well, don't you think they'd legalize it if they got some?
Well, you know, there's the moral issues as well. I mean, the government can make lots of money doing all kinds of things, but it's hard to get past, you know, certain very conservative ways of looking at things.
Now, do you know if it's true that Philip Morris grows it? Or has the rights to grow it if it did become legal?
I've heard all kinds of things. I don't know what's true and what's not. That's why I have heard that. I have heard that, but I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God damn, shit's great.
Good morning.
Yeah, about Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
I was wondering, if you lost so many little boys, how come you never lost any space robots?
I don't know. Good question, though. Good morning. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, how you doing? Listen, I've been hanging out here since early this morning, and there isn't a thing to do on this campus. Could you give me an idea why?
Well, it's getting close to finals week. It's winter time. It's the weekend, and there's nothing to do out here.
Yeah, but that should be exactly why people are hanging out, because it's the last week before finals.
I know. Look, there used to be places on campus, and I blame this on students because they let it happen to them. There used to be hangouts in every single building. There used to be coffee shops and, I guess bars are kind of difficult now since the drinking age is 21, but there still were lots of places that were student-run and student-operated, and they were open late at night on Saturdays. Yeah.
Because I don't go to school here. I have a couple of friends. I have family that goes here. And I came up to visit them for the weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it didn't matter.
I'm out of my mind.
Yeah, it didn't matter if you had, you know, family or not, or if you were part of the school or not. People from the community came here all the time. And, you know, we used to have places here in the Union. We used to have places in a lot of the dormitories. It was a kicking place, you know. I don't know what happened. But you guys out there that are students, you know, you got to get your act together and start organizing some places.
What about women? You know where women hang out?
Gosh, you know, that's a hard question. I don't know where you can find people like that these days, but rumor has it they're around campus somewhere. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hi. What I wanted to say was, like, when you were talking about the suicide thing for a while,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you get a lot of people calling up, and I didn't sit there with, like, a stopwatch time and how long your show was, but it's like you dedicated a big portion of your show to that, and it's like, I don't understand that, because it's like these two girls, okay, from what I understand, like you said, they were from nice families, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to understand that things are happening to people every day, everywhere. And you're not going to hear about that stuff, like if somebody is, like, completely, like, poor or even homeless. If they get killed or they kill themselves, nobody gives a damn.
Right.
But if it's like, you know, apple pie girls or whatever, I mean, everybody flips out and they're all sad. And I'm not saying that to be cruel or anything or to put you down for that, because mm-hmm. it's like everybody's life means something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that is kind of indicative of, like, the world value system you were talking about a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like the importance people put on life. And the other guy was talking about the material stuff. And it's like all that stuff is hollow inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. It's, it's because it's something that's local to us. People that that were a part of our community. You know, it's. I know there's a lot of tragedy going on out there right now, and we do tend to be blind to it. But again, this is something that is hit close to home. And I think that's why people here feel something for this, and maybe. Maybe by feeling something for this, they will see that there's, the world isn't quite the way they pictured it in the first place. There's all kinds of torment going on out there, and we need to be able to recognize it and stop it before it's too late.
But also to counter, okay, counter my statement.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to be a downer. I got a joke for you.
Okay.
I used to be a vegetarian. No, I'm a vegetarian now, okay, because I had to stop eating animals. Every time I tried, they'd scratch my face.
I see. Well, you know, I think you're probably doing something wrong there, though I can't quite put my finger on it. But then again, I don't think I'd want to. Good morning.
Government sells drugs to kids and says it's us. And when the cops are crooks, who can you trust? Smoke a posse, not a tray.
All right, well, sure glad that message got out. Last call. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have an announcement to make to the whole Stony Brook campus.
Okay, go ahead.
Leon Korolev is an asshole.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be following up on that in the weeks ahead. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. No, they're all gone. Everyone's gone. Yeah, they're all gone. Get this phone away from me. We're out of here. And Kenyon's up next. Kenyon, you got a show for us, right?
Got a music show.
Really,
not,
yeah,
not
really big music show. Any tickets to give away tonight?
Couple pairs.
Couple of pairs of tickets. All right, this guy is becoming the Ticketmeister here at USB. So those of you out there that feel you owe yourself something more, well, who knows, you might get it tonight. Okay, we're out of here. It's late. I'm going to be gone for a little while, but hey, I'll see you next year. Early next year, right? And hang in there. There's a lot coming ahead. Take care.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, you alternative music listeners out there. This is James Eha of the Smashing Bumpkins. I'm sure you know who I am. And whenever I'm in
Stony Brook,
I always listen to
WSB 9.1.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Give it to me right now. Give it to me now.